Hello, good morning. Well, it's morning for me. I don't know what time it is with you when you're listening, but maybe the morning. I like to listen to podcasts in the morning. In fact, I listen, like to listen to podcasts anytime. Yeah, this is going to be another solo venture. The last week's Explain Yourself, my first solo podcast, went surprisingly well, both in the fact that I enjoyed recording it and that people seemed to enjoy listening to it. So, all round, a positive thing. Brilliant. So yeah, this week again, I was about to say I was lazy, but I shouldn't say I've been lazy. I've just, again, been very short of time and haven't had a guest arranged for this week. So it's back to just me, I'm afraid. But you'll be pleased to know that I have a guest lined up for next week. I'm recording an interview tomorrow, so if that all goes according to plan, we've got a great guest lined up for next week. I did think about potentially just waiting until I'd recorded that one and putting that out this week, but no, let's save it. Let's save it for next week, get a bit of a build-up. So that'll be out next week. And then if you live in Aberdeen or you follow Scottish football, you'll know Aberdeen are in a cup final in a couple of weeks. So I'm off to Glasgow and I'm going to be recording a few episodes there, and I might be going across to Edinburgh as well for some exciting stuff. I can't remember if I said any of this on last week's episode. I don't think I did. But yeah, that's what's coming up. So there is going to be some, don't worry, I'm not, you don't need to unsubscribe or decide this is not for you anymore, because I've gone crazily egotistical and decided just to make it all about me. There will be guests. I love having guests on. It'll always be a guest-based podcast. But last week, I enjoyed recording it. It was quite lighthearted in places. And then I got sent in some more questions after I'd actually recorded the episode, so I thought it'd be good to cover them. And just a couple other topics that I think are worth talking about. Couple of things I'm going to mention. It won't be quite a full hour, I wouldn't have thought. And maybe if there's time, I'll play some more emotion roulette at the end. I did a Instagram poll to see whether people thought I should make that into a recurring real game, but people didn't seem that keen. But I enjoyed it, and other people have said to me they enjoyed it, so I'm maybe going to play again today. And if not, I'll play again, I think, maybe in some of the group podcasts. Last thing to tell you before I get on with the main bulk of the episode, I hope you've been enjoying the wee sound bites, and they've been provided by previous and possibly upcoming again podcast guest Ewan Davidson. He is on Twitter at TweetEwan, I think it is, and on Instagram I believe it's Colossal Moron, although he does change his handles sometimes, so I hope I got them both right, Ewan. He's provided more sound bites for this episode. And I don't know if you enjoy them. I hope you do. But I find them, I don't know, something about Ewan's wee voice, I just find it hilarious. So I asked him for more and he provided them. So they'll be spread throughout this episode. I hope you guys enjoy them as much as I do. Anyway, on with the bulk of the episode. And thanks so much for for staying with me for 2 weeks of these solo efforts. And yeah, really appreciate it. And for anyone who's sending questions or topics or has given me any feedback on the solo one, really appreciate it, because it was, although I enjoyed doing it and I thought it was not too bad, it's a confidence booster to know I could go and do it again this week, because people responded to it really well. So thanks to everyone for all the nice comments and all your questions and stuff. Much appreciated. Cheers. Alright, well, if I've edited this correctly, you'll just heard that, the intro music. Hope you enjoyed that. wee ditty. I don't know. It's very hard to start a podcast off by yourself, especially when you've recorded an intro, which really is the beginning. Let's just get stuck right in. We had some leftover questions last week from last week's Explain Yourself episode. So, let's answer them right away. And maybe that'll lead me on to discuss other things. Now, I saved them in my phone. I'm just going to find them. I really should have been better prepared. Oh, there it is. Okay. So, the first one is, have I ever used CBD oil for anxiety? And the simple answer is no, I've not used CBD oil for anything. Although I have heard heaps and heaps about it and being great for all sorts of things. I don't know if I know anyone who's used it strictly for anxiety, but I know that I've read about people using it for that, and it's apparently brilliant. Apparently the whole oil, your whole body feels better essentially. I know a lot of guys use it at the gym for combat sports, for their fight camps and stuff, and just said all the little sort of niggles and tensions that you get, muscular aches and pains, even things like injuries, they don't seem to get them. The body just seems to be a lot looser. For anxiety, I imagine it just, I don't know 100% how it works, I don't know the science behind it, but I imagine maybe it just, it's a psychological, like I say, that they say that it makes you a lot looser, your muscles, and maybe it's like a psychological version of that, if that makes sense. Maybe you just feel things sort of wash over you, whereas when you're anxious, obviously you can get hung up on tiny little things and your mind wanders back to the past or you worry about the future, just something we'll get onto in this podcast. So maybe that CBD oil sort of loosens you off mentally, which can only be a good thing. I think a lot of mental health problems stem from things that really were minor and irrelevant and but end up building up inside of you, or at least it does for me anyway. So the short answer is no, I've not used it, but I would definitely be open to it. I think it's quite expensive, and also it's one of these things that I would need to go to a shop, and I just haven't done it, but I definitely would be open to it, and probably should use it just in general for everything. It does sound like it's really good. The only thing, one thing that has put me off, and I actually heard this quite recently, was I asked a friend of mine who trains at the gym if they'd used it, because I knew they had quite a lot of injuries in their training and fighting at quite a high level. And he said he had tried it, but it gave him night terrors, which is one thing that's put me off, because I've had, maybe, I don't know if I've ever had anything that I describe as night terrors, but I've definitely had sort of, sleep paralysis and sort of quite vivid dreams and sort of hallucinatory, is that the right word? Is that even a word? Things of that nature in the past, and I really, really don't enjoy them. So, and that's just natural. Well, most of it, I think, is just from natural in my body. I mean, I've had it since I was a young kid, so it wouldn't even be induced by alcohol or anything else. So the thought of having that heightened by something like CBD oil is quite scary. But that's the only person I've heard report that, and I've you hear all these great things about it, so really I shouldn't be put off by one person, or you shouldn't be put off by one person's one person's experience, if you think it might be beneficial to you. So give it a go if you're interested. It's quite readily available now. I think I've seen it in quite a lot of health shops and stuff. I might actually try it. I really probably should. I've got a problem with my hip at the moment. It's really tight, which doesn't help my Thai boxing. So I've been stretching it off, and I went for a treatment to get that sorted, and it is a lot better, but it still is quite stiff. It's less sore now, but it is still very tight. But I am loosening it off. Shout out to Nicola at Body Connect too. He gave me my treatment and sorted that hip out a lot better. And maybe the CBD oil would help that as well. Maybe not. I think I've done enough on that question. I see what happens. I just ramble on for ages. And the next one is, it could induce even more rambling. So, but it's a good question. I've been asked, if you could interview anyone, who would it be and what would you ask? It's obviously a great question. But one that is slightly difficult to answer. I thought about this a lot. So this question came in about a week ago. So I've had a while to think about it. I've got a couple of answers. Yeah, I've got a few. The one that I knew 100% when I got asked that, when as soon as I read that question, there was one, because I've discussed it with someone before, would be if I was to do anyone in the combat sports world. Maybe not anyone, but one person I would absolutely love to speak to in terms of combat sports would be Darren Till. He's just got quite a cool story, I think. As well, he's obviously relatively new on the scene, so I think it'd be good to speak to a fighter who's sort of that current. And yeah, I just don't. I think he would be full of surprise. I think he'd have. I think I've listened to a lot of interviews with him before, and I just, he's not the kind of character that would ever keep a guard up or speak, just, you know, would keep guarded, I don't think. So I think he'd be absolutely brilliant for an interview. I think he would give you absolutely everything, speak about everything 100%. I don't know whether he's had, like, you know, mental struggles or whatever, but he, you know, he went over to Brazil and stuff and ended up having a kid over there, and he was stabbed in Liverpool. So there's a lot there, and, you know, it'd be hard to think he went through all that without having some sort of mental strain. And then obviously his approach to fighting is all about his mindset and how he believes, or how he just, how he wants just to be considered a great and the best ever, which a lot of people say, but I don't know, it's just something about him I like, and I would absolutely love to have him sat down. I suppose as well, like, who else? Tyson Fury was the one I was going to mention there. Was someone that I really wasn't a fan of for a long time. He said a lot of controversial things and a lot of things that obviously I still don't agree with. But more recently, since he retired and then came back, he's spoken a lot about depression and his own experiences. And his podcast with Joe Rogan went out quite recently. It was one of my all-time favourite podcasts of anyone's. And the way he speaks about depression in that and in other clips I've seen as well, he absolutely has a great vocabulary for it, and he explains it extremely, extremely well, and in a very moving way. I don't know, just some people could just speak about these things. Hopefully I'm one of these people that you know, makes these things sound simple and you can understand, relate to it. But Tyson Fury, 100%, that podcast is absolutely brilliant, and I would absolutely love to chat to him and pick his brains, and that'd be another brilliant one. Also Conor McGregor, but I mean, isn't that, isn't that 100%? I mean, the question was, if I could speak to anyone, who would it be? I mean, obviously that would be an amazing what an opportunity that would be, but I just don't know. You just don't know what's going on with him at all, do you? Because he's such an enigma. But I don't need to be I don't want to be one of those people that speaks loads about Conor McGregor, because everyone and their dog speaks about him. And rightly so, he is good, but still. And outside of combat sports, I went for them first, because the person that asked me that is someone that trains and fights himself, so I thought we'd be interested most in those ones. But outside of that, my boy Louis Theroux, I absolutely love him. And he is someone who speaks a lot about mental health. I think people would be, he goes under the radar, but he speaks a lot about mental health in sort of interviews and on podcasts with Adam Buxton, and he's been on Joe Rogan as well, and Martin Maron, and he talks about how he is a worrier and stuff, and how he's been through a lot of therapy and things like that. I don't think he has any sort of chronic conditions or anything that he would identify with himself, but sometimes that doesn't, well, that never matters really. I don't think, well, it does matter, but you can have, you know, mental health experiences without ever having extreme depression or extreme anxiety, and just being a general worrier and stuff, I think is very, very valid, and a thing loads of people experience. Obviously, I just love Louis, and I'd love to, you know, he's obviously interviewed so many hundreds of people and been in so many different situations. He could give you a window into what loads into other people's mentalities, like, and what it's like to be in a the mind state you enter when you are around some of these people. So yeah, he'd be an absolute dream to speak to, but again, I think that one's quite unlikely, certainly at the moment. But Big Louie, if you happen to be listening, I'm on Twitter, mate, and so are you. That's all I'm saying. I had someone else I really wanted to, it's come back, there's loads now. And actually, do you know what's really not helping is I'm sat across from my bookcase, so there's loads of people now, like, that's jumping out at me, of writers that I like, who are like, there's so many writers I'd love to speak to. We'll just go through a couple more. One, it's not a writer, but Tom Waits, the musician and actor, I suppose. He's done heaps of shit, I think. But Tom Waits, purely for my own benefit, really, he is an absolute legend. I was listening to him last night at work. Probably shouldn't admit that, but yeah, I was listening to him last night, and I feel like there's so many Tom Waits songs that I love, and so much of his music that I absolutely, you know, is some of my favourite music ever. But when you go on Spotify, sorry, I'm one of these people that uses Spotify, and it doesn't, I've done my time buying records, that's all I'll say. But yeah, I was getting to the records that I like, which are like sort of his first three or four albums, so the ones that I've really listened to and really love. And you know, I had to scroll through about 10 or 15 albums down to get to those four, and I'm sure all those albums are amazing. I was like, fuck, I would view myself as a huge Tom Waits fan. Absolutely love him, but there's still so much of his music that I've not got around to yet, because I'm still just obsessing over these four amazing records. And I think my favourite album of his is a record called Small Change, and there's lots of themes of depression and alcoholism on that album. And I just think that if there was one person I could speak to about that sort of, you know, that sort of lifestyle of being on the road, and he's sort of a jazz blues musician, you know, obviously I think what decade it would have been, but you know, lots of alcohol and cigarettes, and you know, just of that time. And he has songs like Invitation to the Blues and The Piano's Been Drinking Not Me and Bad Liver and A Broken Heart, and just the titles of those songs, you already get a feel for what they would be like. So there's obviously going to be a lot of stories behind those songs that I'd absolutely love to hear and speak about his mentality throughout those periods and a life in the industry. So Tom Waits would be another one. I've already spoken to a lot of people that I'd love to. The last one I'm going to mention is Irvin Welsh, who wrote Trainspotting and so many other great books. Just because he's on my bookshelf across from me, but yeah, he would be an absolute dream just because I'm a huge fan. I realise I've not asked, I know I kind of have answered what I would ask them, but for Irvin Welsh, I think I would just speak about his characters and how relatable they are. And for me, when I read Irvin Welsh, especially the Trainspotting books, you know, Trainspotting, Skag Boys, Porno, I can't even remember what the one after that was called. Dead Man's Trousers, is that the name of it? These all follow the same Trainspotting characters. Whenever I read one of those books, it's as if I'm reading about my own mates. I feel like as if I know those characters, like as if they were real people. And I would just love to speak to Irvin Welsh about, because obviously that comes from quite a heartfelt place, and those characters are all, you know, damaged people. So there's obviously a backstory there with Irvin himself, which he has spoken about before. You know, he's obviously had his own drug issues and alcohol issues, I think, and you know, and now he's into like kickboxing and training and stuff as well. So it's, speak to him about that. You know, how we've got these sort of similarities, I guess. So that, I think that does it for that question. I've spoken loads about that, but yeah, I've spoken for ages on just on those two questions. But yeah, that was a really good question to thank. I never ask people whether or not they would want to be named on the podcast, so I don't want to name people, but thanks for asking that question. It's a good one. Right, last one, which came in quite recently, so it's on here. I hate doing the do-do-do's. It's really upsetting me. But I do have seconds to fill. This one made me laugh in a morbid way, and it's just asked tips for juggling self-care, a full-time job, and a social life. I really don't know if I'm the right person to be asked. juggling. So, okay. I'm quite lucky in a sense that I do shift work, so you are able to vary up what you can do on certain days, I guess. So, you know, for instance, today I'm working this evening, so I've had time this morning. I've got up and went to the gym and trained Thai boxing first thing this morning. I come home, had something to eat, and now I'm doing this podcast. And then I'll go to work and I'll come home at night. And the self-care, I suppose, is one of the big aspects to speak about. Something gets highlighted a lot now when mental health is mentioned, and rightly so. But I don't think self-care is always... I mean, it can be just things that you do for yourself, but sometimes I think it's just about... sometimes it's about things you don't do, I think. It would be easy for me to come home tonight and start drinking, which is something I used to do when I worked late shifts a lot. I used to tell myself, and I think to a degree it was true, but I just hadn't really looked for a better solution. I used to tell myself that... you know, when I'm working late, I get up late, so I, you know, I get home from work and I'm wide awake, so I would come home and drink, you know, a few beers or a few more beers than that, or a couple of glasses of wine. And then, you know, I'd end up staying, ironically, just because we were just speaking about him, but I'd end up staying up late, you know, listening to Tom Waits records and sort of romanticising the fact that I was up having a beer or a wine, as if I was somehow as cool as Tom Waits, you know, it was all part of that. And of course, that was just wasn't the best way to handle it, working late shifts, which I didn't like, and I thought it didn't give me any time to do stuff. The correct way to handle it is what sort of I've gotten better at doing. I'm still not perfect at it, but as you know, coming home from work and then trying my best to just relax on my own and go to bed early, then get up the next day early so that I can do stuff before work rather than getting in that vicious cycle of just work. Home, up, work, home, and up. Other stuff about self-care. I think the more you fill your time, the better you get at juggling things as well. You realise there's a lot more hours in the day than you think. But I mean, it is difficult, and I think that people struggle, especially these days, but just like you end up just sitting looking at your phone for a couple hours a day, it can be. So trying not to do that, trying to make sure you've, if pre-planning, I think, is a big thing. So like, if I was to not plan my day or my half day before I started work or my time after, my time after I had work, sorry, I finished, had a mental blank there, I'd find it really difficult to, on the day, you know, come up with stuff to do and be proactive. But if I, you know, sort of schedule my, seems schedule sounds very formal, but if I just know I have places to be and I've got stuff arranged, then 9 times out of 10 I'll do it. Whereas 9 times out of 10, if I don't have something arranged and I wake up with a free day, nothing's going to get done. I'm just going to end up sitting looking at my phone or watching stuff on YouTube or sitting on my laptop looking at, you know, like shopping websites, I'm not going to buy stuff, anything like that. So that's, yeah, and the social life, I suppose, all falls in the same kind of, I think I've gotten better at not going to everything, which makes, this is hard to explain, I think I don't go out as much as I used to, all the time, but it sort of makes your time with my time with my friends and stuff more valuable. Yeah, I think that's a fair way to put it. Because you can go to the pub 5 times a week, but you're not really, it becomes too monotonous. Not that the only way you can socialise is going to the pub, although with my friend circle, quite often it can be. I hope that's a helpful answer. I mean, I feel like we've talked more about the self-care thing, which I think people associate with being like baths and yoga and stuff like that, but I think it's just anything that makes you feel better. Ironically, baths, I do absolutely love having a bath. I'm not gonna I'm not gonna lie. It's one of my favorite things. But tips for my main tip for juggling all that would be pre-planning. The last thing I'll mention on this is try not to take your work home with you. If you've possibly got a job where you don't need to take your work home with you, try not to. I think I've got a foot in both camps with this one. Sometimes I can go home from work and completely switch off to the point where I probably couldn't tell you about my working day, or I've had instances where a colleague has got in touch with me to ask me something about earlier in the day, or to ask me a question about work, and I've completely zoned out so much from my work that I find it hard to answer them because I'm not in that headspace at all. Equally, I've had times where I find it really difficult to come home from work and switch off, and it feels like I'm almost not out of there at all, because it's just on my mind constantly. So yeah, that's one I would mention. If you can possibly not take your work home with you, in terms of just getting out of your head, then it allows you to focus on whatever you are doing so much more, and I think it makes you better at your job probably as well, because you get that time away and then you come back refocused on it. That's my two tips: pre-planning and trying to take your work home with you, and just value, if you value the time as well, it becomes your time away from work, and you just value each thing that you're doing for what it is, then you get more out of it. Try to not to do things you don't want to do. I read a book, I'm just going on for ages. I read a book, I can't remember what it's called, so How to Stop Giving So Much Fucks or something. That's definitely not the title, but it was essentially a book on about, you know, organizing your life and structuring your life and only caring about the things you really want to do. And I think that's really difficult in modern climate without hurting other people's feelings. And it was sort of a book about how to, you know, be very objective with stuff like that, and your money and your time. So I think there's a balance to be struck with that as well, is try not to feel obliged to do things, but also don't just tell everyone to fuck off and don't ever do anything because it's not 100% what you want to do. I think that, you know, you got to go out of your comfort zone as well. Right, moving on from this question. I had a topic I was going to speak about in this podcast that I had in mind, and I'm going to take a wee break here and then I will go on to that topic. Oh, tense.
As a former Mood Swings guest, I heartily endorse all of these messages. You're doing a great job, Nathan. Hell yeah.
Okay, so back for second part of this this solo podcast. Probably the last one for a while. Let's hope so. Let's get you some guys, some guests to listen to. But anyway, yeah, in this second half, I'm going to talk a bit about something I've been thinking about quite a lot recently. And that is just that it's getting up closer to Christmas, which is a time a lot of people associate with sort of certain people struggling. I think everyone, let's move on to that in a second, but like certain people struggling, people getting lonely, whether that be older people or people just without a lot of family or friends, and it kind of gets associated with that. But I think everyone can have struggles at this time of year. There's a lot of strain that goes on to you. You know, there's a lot of pressure to be seen at loads of social events, or to be seen to enjoy yourself at loads of social events, which is another thing entirely. You know, to see family, to see friends, to spend time with loads of different people. And it can be quite tough. Along with that as well, is there is a financial strain for a lot of people at this time of year. And it just could, I think it makes the whole experience quite stressful. You know, you're constantly worried about your next night out, or then, you know, buying gifts or having money to do, you know, whatever, or have, just I think the whole thing. The other thing as well I find a potential minefield is, you know, buying gifts for people. Are they going to buy a gift for you or for me? And, you know, are they gonna, this is just my mindset, but if I buy a gift for them and they haven't got me anything, you know, that's fine. But then they're going to then feel guilty as if they are obliged to get me something, and then is that going to be a strain on them? You know, it just, your mind goes through a lot of thoughts, I think, for me at this time of year. And just looking at, like, my own stuff I got coming up. I'm away this weekend, I'm away the weekend after, and recording podcasts for you guys and for the football. And then the weekend after that, I've got another week, you know, another trip away, overnight down to England. And, you know, it just, like, it's a lot on, obviously. And I just start to worry about, you know, what if I have, you know, a crazy night, sometimes that can impart on the following week, and it can take you a while to get over that. And then, of course, when I'm doing that and I'm not, you know, it's making me, you know, down and feeling a bit down or anxious or worried, you know, if I've got to go the weekend after that, back away again for another thing that might involve alcohol. And, you know, I don't even think it's always just the booze. You know, sometimes you end up not getting as much sleep, or you're just out of your comfort zone. Don't get the time to yourself. I think that's a big thing when you're away traveling. You know, you don't get that time to just completely lounge in your pants away from everyone else, which sometimes is the best thing in the world. So yeah, I mean, it can be a strenuous time, and I'm already worried about the potential of going out and making an absolute cunt of it, for lack of a better word. I've been trying not to say it, but there's no, I can swear, so it's fine. Yeah, worried about going out and making an absolute cunt of it, and then, you know, you run the risk of, if that happens over the festive period, ruining that holiday and getting into a state of extreme anxiety, which is not a good place to be. At least that's what I'm worried about. You know, I'm worried about giving myself anxiety, but I think it's not too uncommon. I feel like I have more to say about that, but possibly not. I don't really have any solutions. Just suppose you just have to be very careful, don't you? And I can't remember if I've spoken about this before, one of my earliest memories of Christmas and New Year, I remember there was one year in particular when I was a kid, still very much a kid, where it just seemed to be every night over the festive period where we were out at parties. I guess my family were, you know, the older relatives who'd have all been having a few drinks, etc. I was a kid, so I think the absolute maximum excitement I got was that I got to watch, I think at one point, was this during this period in my life? There was definitely one time I remember I got to watch the opening scene, like the opening sequence to South Park the movie, because there was no swearing. There was probably still a lot of offensive humour that I shouldn't have been allowed to see at that age, but because it was probably went over my head, it was allowed. And then I also remember very much at this one party that went just away, talk about the X-Files was coming on, and I was allowed to watch the X-Files with my sort of older cousins and their friends who were all at this party. And really at the time, I'm very angry with young Nathan for not valuing, I think I found the X-Files quite boring. And I'm quite upset with myself for not valuing what I was being introduced to, which is one of the greatest TV shows ever. In my opinion, the X-Files is an absolute enigma, and it has a special place in my heart. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. But yeah, I have a very early memory of a relative just sort of starting crying during the middle of this party, and everyone sort of getting around them and saying, like, you know, what's wrong and all this kind of stuff, and them saying that they just felt like they hadn't had 5 minutes themselves, and they'd been all going. Obviously it just all hit them at once, and they were very overwhelmed. And at the time, obviously, as a kid, I didn't really understand that, I don't think. But obviously it had enough of an effect on me that I can remember it, you know, almost 20 years later. Yeah, but almost 20 years later, I can still remember that thing. I mean, it being quite striking. And now I completely, obviously, can empathise with that. It's almost it's a really difficult feeling, I think, when you're, how to put it, you know, you've just got so much coming up and so much that you feel obliged to do, and when you really just need to take time for yourself, it can be really difficult. And then some of the things that you'd want to do, you know, I think that happens for Christmas and New Year as well. So you'll maybe get 4 weekends worth of nights out or great like events that you want to go to in the space of a week, you know. And like, ordinarily you'd absolutely love to go see that band or to go for dinner and drinks with all these people, but because you've the 3 nights previous you've been out doing similar things or you've had stuff on, you find like that, you know, that the idea something normally you would absolutely relish is like the last thing you want to do, and that the boring night that you would normally dread, you know, a night of just sitting and watching crap TV, normally would seem really dull and you know, dreary or whatever. It's 100% the thing you want to do, and I think that can be confusing for you, like, or fairly for me. It puts you out of sorts. You don't quite feel yourself when you feel like these things that ordinarily you'd really want to do just becomes really unappealing, and that's quite scary. And then you start to get on it yourself, and then there becomes a conflict in you that it's quite strange, and it feels like whatever you do is the wrong decision. You feel like if you go out, it feels like the wrong decision because you're forcing yourself to do something and maybe you won't enjoy it. But then the flip side of that is if you stay in sometimes you feel like you get that FOMO, as I say, fear of missing out, where you just wish you had gone, and you know, you're worried that it was the wrong call not to go and that you've missed it. I think I've just said the same thing 3 times in a row, but you feel like you're missing out, and that's a dreadful feeling. And you get sort of between a rock and a hard place, as the expression goes. So again, I don't know if I've got any practical advice for this. Just I don't even know if I've given advice what the right thing is to do. I just feel like it's good to acknowledge things. But that's certainly a struggle I find myself. Not always just at Christmas time, sometimes even if you're just having a busy week, but over Christmas and New Year, I think especially it gets really like that. And everyone moans about January and dry January and stuff, but sometimes I think it's almost a relief to get to January and just to be really skint. I mean, it's never nice being skint, but you know, and everything sort of slows down a little bit, and you sort of get back to normal. But that's not to say I'm not looking forward to Christmas. I put like a really negative spin on it there. I wouldn't say I love Christmas. You know, some people absolutely adore Christmas. I really enjoy it for what it is, but it's not the be all and end all of the year, I don't think. That is, of course, my birthday month of October, where, you know, we celebrate me. That's really the best time. I'm joking. I don't know. I'm going to do another Christmas special, or maybe a couple of Christmas specials this year. Hit me up if there's anyone you want on as guests. You know, be realistic, because sometimes people try and tell me, I mean, the main one is people just tell me to get Russell Anderson back on to dress up as Santa or something like that. I mean, he's not going to want to do it, I'm afraid. But yeah, I've got a couple of Christmas episodes planned for the festive period, so I'll probably speak more about these kind of issues, but I just wanted to acknowledge it on this podcast and speak a little bit about it. Right. Oh, one last thing before I go on to play Emotion Roulette for a little minute. My friends and previous podcast guests, Chris and Stu, have a podcast of their own. Much more successful than this one, but I'm still going to punt it on this one because you might not have heard it. They've run a podcast called Hardcore Listening, where you do a top five every week. They have guests on who give a top five every week, so like top five Smith's albums, although I think there's only four, so I fucked that one right up. But top five Smith songs or something, you know, something like that, or movies or anything. Top five favorite biscuits. They do loads of them. But as I said, they've been on this podcast before. They speak loads about mental health just throughout their podcast in general. Just because I think it crops up in almost all podcasts, people end up speaking about mentality because it's so intrinsic with our lives. But yeah, this week they've put out a very special episode, or two episodes, a two-parter, with, is it Gary Hayes, I think is the guy's name. I'm really bad that I sort of think I fucked up people's names, but I think it's right, who has his own charity, PTSD 999, which is a PTSD charity for people within the special, it's not special forces, within the emergency services. It's the phrase I'm looking for. I've not got, I think I'm 3/4 of the way through the podcast, and I would have finished it by now if I hadn't had to stop to record this one, because I'm that captivated by it. But yeah, Gary's story is absolutely brilliant. He started a charity, which we could all get behind. And just if you enjoy mental health podcasts and hearing about those kind of things, I couldn't recommend this one enough. And yeah, it's a brilliant story. Lots about PTSD, and Gary is very open and honest about his own experiences, and I'm really looking forward to listening to the last half hour of it. But 100%, I think you should go give that a listen if you're a fan of this podcast. And also, if you enjoyed that as well, I've had Chris and Stu on this before, so maybe you've not heard that one. Go back and have a listen to that, because they were brilliant on this, on the podcast as well. Right, you'll be able to get links to that on my Instagram, or maybe in the episode bio or something. But if you can't find it, feel free to give me a message or something. I don't know. I'm sure you will. Even if you use Google Hardcore Listing, you'll find it, and it'll be this week's episodes. Okay. We break, and then Emotion Roulette.
It's Aberdeen's spiciest boy, Nathan Brown.
Right, I just went for a round of Emotion Roulette, and I had to give up. It went so poorly, and there were so many long silences, I've had to re-record it. So, here we go. Here's Emotion Roulette. I'm going to try my best, and hopefully we do better this time. Quick fire, here we go. Scared. The last time I was scared, I went to see Overlord on Saturday night. It's not a scary film, but before the film, I'd been up since 4:30 in the morning for work, and the screening wasn't until 8:30 at night, and I had made the educated decision to have a couple of beers before it and to sneak in a wee cinema tinny, which is something I love to do. If you want to ask any more questions about that, please feel free. I'm going to speak to you about the art of sneaking alcohol into the cinema. And, you know, there's a balance to be struck. I love the cinema. I love beers. I love beers at the cinema. You can't do it every time you go to cinema, though. Otherwise, it loses its charm. You just, every time, that just means every time you, it just has to be every so often, the right kind of film. A beer with the film is the best thing, but not all the time. Sometimes you need to go to the cinema and enjoy it as you did as a child, with a big fuck off soft drink and some sweeties or some popcorn or something. But once in a while, every so often, it's good to remember you're an adult and to mix that experience up. That's all I'm saying. Okay, so the last time I felt scared was, yeah, Saturday, where I was really very scared that I'd been looking forward to seeing Overlord for a long time, and I was quite scared that I was going to fall asleep 20 minutes in, which I've done so many times before with films that I've been looking forward to. But I've been working early and then had to go, it's obviously in the evening. And really, that is the last time I felt scared, I think. Right, moving on. Insecure. Delving deep into the emotions today. Probably in the last 15 minutes, I felt insecure. It's just an anxiety thing, isn't it? Constantly feeling as if insecure in my own body, insecure within my own life. Does that make sense? Just as if nothing is quite right, and as if I'm, you know, not right in my own skin, as if I'm ready to make mistakes at any moment. I just feel insecure quite a lot. And not much more to be said about that. Come on, generate. Anxious, see also insecure. Anxious again. Embarrassed, I think we did that last week. Joy, last week as well. Inadequate, Christ. Okay, so as I've noted on the podcast, over the last few months, I had a bit of a difficult time with my job and stuff like that. And there was a while there where I was really almost scared to go to work and feeling I just had a lot of self-doubt, and I would say that that was on the verge of being feeling inadequate in terms of what I do for a living. And it's only now that I'm through that period that I realised that was just my own, and I mean, it would be objective, it was my anxiety and my own self-doubt that was all was manifested. And in fact, there was absolutely nothing wrong with my work performance or my ability to do my job. Just, I mean, that was a strange time because I'm so used to anxiety and depression and stuff manifesting themselves, not exclusively, but mostly within to do with my personal life. It's the things I worry about. And I don't know, in the cruel mistress that anxiety and all that is, because my own personal life was going really, really well at the time, and still is, yay. You know, it decided to shift up my working life and make that an absolute sucker punch for me. But yeah, that's an adequate cover, I think. Worried. Okay, covered that. Uncomfortable. Let's get back to the cinema. Right. So, Saturday night, picture the scene. Myself and my girlfriend went into the cinema. And I'm a bit of a stickler for the rules when it comes to cinema. Apart from the sneaking in, the booze rule, that one I'm flexible on. But yeah, I went in, I had my seat booked, and there was a guy in my seat. And I just... It just drives me wild, guys. Not like anger, because I mean, anyone can sit in their own seat. But I just didn't want to. I couldn't decide what was worse. The horrible thought of approaching him and saying, "Excuse me, sir, you're in my seat." I don't know why I call him sir. Or just finding two seats nearby, parking myself down and hoping that no one appeared with those seats booked. Because then you know, I'm the bad guy, and then they're going to think I've stolen their seats when really I only did it because someone was in my seat. And then I started thinking, what was there someone in that guy's seat? And, you know, just could be an ugly chain. But yeah, that was the last time I was uncomfortable, was the first, until the film was about 15 minutes in, I was quite nervous that someone was going to come and make me move, and it was going to be very awkward. I think it stems back to a time I was on a train, and we sat in the wrong seats because... I mean, we did this purposefully this time. Was there was two empty seats that had been booked, but we sat in them because no one had appeared for them. And then a few stops down the line, people appeared. But the reason we did that was because at the table that we were meant to be sitting at was a couple of lads, and they were sitting drinking tinnies and having a bit of a rowdy time. And I think we were pretty hungover, so it seemed that it was going to be a culture clash there. So it seemed better to sit away from them. And then, but the person that came to take the seats we were in made such a big deal out of it, as if we'd, you know, we were very willing to move straight away, but they made it seem as if we'd committed some sort of horrible crime. So maybe that's why I'm hung up about that. Right, last one. Ashamed. What a lovely way to finish. The last time I felt ashamed, I mean, it's a shame, the same as shame. That sounds like a very stupid question, but I mean, I feel little elements of shame all the time throughout my day. But the last time I felt really ashamed, I mean, that feels like it has to be characterized by some sort of sinister action. I feel like I don't feel shame for the right reasons, if that makes sense. Like, I've spoken quite a lot on stage doing sort of Mood Swings live spots about some of my toilet experiences in various places, like Barcelona, etc., and on mega buses. And I feel like those things should fill me with shame, but they don't. And I'm more like ashamed of just who I am and the way I work in general. But I have no shame about certain things. I mean, I feel a little bit when I'm at work, I make these horrible cheesy playlists full of pop music, which I put on shamelessly, and then when I get caught listening to the music I actually listen to, so like the Twilight Sad and all these sort of, or Tom Waits, you know, bands that are maybe a little bit out of the mainstream, people say, "What are you listening to?" I feel a little bit of a shame there. And there's no need to. I've got good music tastes. Everyone's got a good music taste to them, but I feel like I've got, you know, those are credible artists to be listening to, but I still feel a little bit of shame. Maybe I'll come back, I'll find a time where I was really ashamed I can speak about, but nothing comes to mind at the moment, I'm afraid. So that's it. That's going to conclude this podcast, I think. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks for, you know, listening to these two episodes and sticking with me during the solo ones. Great. I've got an ace guest lined up for next week. I don't want to announce it, who it is, just in case it does fall through, but I'm sure it won't. I've got loads more cool guests coming up. If there's anyone you want me to speak to, please, as always, get in touch. And please share this on all your social media, etc. You know, share the photo on Facebook. It really absolutely helps a massive amount, and is much, much appreciated by myself. And the last thing I'm going to mention before I go is that if you're now, this podcast finishing, and you're looking for something to listen to, the Hardcore Listening podcast that I recommended at the start of the episode, well, the middle of the episode really, is somewhere you should go and listen to now. So if you're looking for something to listen to, go across there now, go on your app, type in Hardcore Listening, and listen to their latest episode with Gary Hayes, because it's some great mental health stuff. Okay, thanks guys, cheers.
Remember the Gil Porter episode? That was really good.